Well,
hello, hello, hello. This is Ian. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to start this program off. I'm going to play about 10 minutes of the CD, Take a Journey Into You. And I just want you to get a feel about, well, what it's all about. And the music's incredible. The music is from the score of Somewhere in Time. So if nothing else, you're going to love the music that you're going to hear here in a moment. Our topic tonight is going to be about freedom. And freedom from what? You know, what does that mean, word, that word mean, freedom? We're going to, like, explore that word, and we're going to talk about it and turn it inside out, and we're going to see where that word freedom enters our lives. So Dawn is now going to start playing my CD for about the first 10 minutes, and we'll come back and we'll talk about freedom. See you then.
Hello, my name is Ian, and I would like to say welcome to your journey into you. Remember those moments in your life when you are so overwhelmed with the feelings of peace and love, that warm, fuzzy feeling that you just love to bask in. You are centered with everything around you. In these moments of pure bliss, nothing can make you angry. Nothing can pull you off center. All you want to do is just bask in these feelings forever. But the feelings do fade away. And when these feelings of peace and love leave you, you start getting cranky, you are off center, and everyone gets out of your way. You feel miserable, lonely, and scared. All you want are those feelings of peace and love back. So, you immediately start looking for them. You know that the feelings of peace and love are out there. That's why you go looking. And you go to great lengths to find them. You light candles, chant, check your horoscope to see which planet is in which grade. You do deep breathing meditations, only to find out after the meditation that the feelings aren't there yet. So you go talk to your friends to see if they know how to get those feelings back. You scream at the top of your lungs out of frustration. And when you really get desperate, you cut a few deals with God. You keep on looking until something external gives you a fix. And then you take a huge, deep sigh of relief. And again, bask in the feelings of peace and love. Until again, they begin to fade. And then you start the dance all over again. I know you have heard this before, but it is a wonderful truth. Peace and love are within you. That means you never have to go looking for them. They came with you when you were born. They came with the territory. When you feel outside the feelings of peace and love, it only means that you have forgotten where they are. They are not missing. They are always in the same spot, within you. And by taking a journey into you, you can always find them. I'm going to stop talking for a few moments here. Please take this time to get into a very comfortable position. It is very important that you are extremely comfortable. So if you need to shift, please do it now. You are now going to literally blow away the world just for a short time. So take in some deep breaths, breathe in deeply, and blow out hard. Like this. Go ahead. Do this 2 more times. What is happening when you breathe in air is that you are actually breathing in a life force. Oxygen is a life giver. Okay, take in another long, deep breath, but this time exhale very slowly. Breathe in deeply and open up your mind. Open up your mind with each deep breath. Your mind will open up at your request. Be very aware of the life force coming into your body. Take in another deep breath. And slowly let your breath out. One more last deep breath. And slowly let your breath out. Your mind and body are now prepared to start the journey into you. Imagine yourself looking down over your body. You are hovering above with a new body that looks just like you. Take a good look at the body below you and be aware of how you are feeling. You and your new body are now going to go to a pasture. It is in the middle of the day, where there are birds singing, a creek with frogs croaking, and you? You are sitting in the shade beneath a huge tree. Your back is leaning against its strong trunk. Your body can actually feel the strength of this grand old tree. Your mind has decided to generate that same strength in your body. So breathe in deeply and feel that strength surging throughout your whole body. The weather is perfect, and you can gaze across the horizon as far as you can see. And you? You are as content as you can be. Stay with this feeling for a few moments. Take it all in. Have your body take a deep breath here. Breathe in the life force and allow your brain to open up even more. And slowly let your breath out. Take yourself to a moment when you were smiling and feeling wonderful. Even if it was only smiling back at someone else. Smiles are such great tension breakers. How many tension breakers did you have today? Hold on to this feeling. Your body is now going to take flight. It is lifting up, and as it turns to face the ground, you see a cord attach itself between your body and the earth. It stretches as the body floats higher and further away. Everything is getting smaller and fuzzier just before you pass through the clouds. And as you rise through the clouds and come out on top of them, the sun's light is beautiful to behold. It is breathtaking. You and your body continue upward and have now gone past the Earth's atmosphere. Your core detaches and you start to free float. As you look around, you can see stars, the moon, meteors streaking across the universe, and the Earth. Take a few moments here and take all of this in and realize the beauty of the night.
Well, that's an excerpt from the CD, Take a Journey Into You. The CD is about 45 minutes long, and it's an interesting journey that you can take in your head with you. And the music is great. Like I said before, it comes from the score of Somewhere in Time. I've always said there was only one thing that I could take to a deserted island. The music from the score of Somewhere in Time would be the one thing that I would take. It's just beautiful music. Let you know that my website is www.wakeupitstimetoremember.com. And then on every Sunday at 7:55 Pacific Standard Time, I broadcast from bbsradio.com, station number 2. Well, so the topic tonight is freedom. What does that mean? Most people think it's freedom. Freedom means to live your life your way. But how is that possible? Since we've been raised and brought up with the confines of social consciousness, how can we be free? Social consciousness, by its own definitions, shows freedom out the door. Our government says we are free, except for the million or so laws that have been written at various stages of our history, either federal laws or each state. There's a lot of laws that have been written over the past couple hundred years plus. Not only do we have the laws of our country, but add on top of that the laws of the 1,700 or so religions, which contradict each other. Then there's the parental laws and your spouse's laws. We just have a lot of laws to remember. We could actually stand in our living room at 8 o'clock at night and could be violating someone's written or unwritten law. Who knows until somebody comes by and says, you're doing something wrong. You look around and put your hands up and you get this questioning look on your face and you go, me? But I'm just standing here minding my own business. And then, depending on who just has accused you of violating the law, they start reading off all the laws that you are breaking at that very moment. And you know what laws are, right? Laws are made by people who can make them. They're the power that be at any given moment in time. And you do something consistently, and they just say, we don't like what you're doing. We're going to go make a law. And they run off, and they make a law for what you've been doing that came natural to you. But they don't like you doing it, and so they go and make a law. That's what laws are. So every moment of every day, we're probably violating someone's law somewhere. So these people that didn't like how the rest of us were living our lives, and we say to them, well, sorry, didn't mean to upset you. Sure, go ahead, make up a law. If that makes you feel better about my life, go ahead, make a law. You're right, you're the guy in charge. This is how it's been. But it doesn't mean that's how it has to continue. Each of us were given individual freedoms from whoever or whatever created us. We didn't come with a manual or a note attached to our body when we were born, saying this baby is to be controlled by so-and-so. There were no instructions tattooed on the little baby's butt saying, this baby's life needs to be reined in by such and such religion. None of that was attached to, or is attached to, a newborn baby. And these people say, if they don't obey the laws of the church of such and such religion, they are going to go to hell. Can you imagine saying that to a newborn? But think about it this way. Contrary to many religions, God gave us our lives to us individually. Listen to the word. Individual oneness. God gave us our lives to us. Period. So the oneness, the beauty of the oneness happens at birth. Then the really bad stuff comes about 24 hours later when the phone rings. Parents pick up the phone. And the other person on the other end says, by the way, we just heard you had a baby. And God has told us if you don't get it baptized right away, it's going to hell. You know why? Well, it was because of what Adam and Eve did. We know it was many, many thousands of years ago, but we were almost positive it happened. And we don't want any babies going to hell because of what Adam and Eve did. So hurry on down to the local church and we will sprinkle some water on them and say a few words and poof, your baby will be resolved of the original sin. Just like that. It's magic. As soon as we say those words and sprinkle that water, God has decided that your child is now resolved of the sin that Adam and Eve did so many thousands of years ago that they're almost positively sure happened. And so, like dutiful parents who don't want their parents, children going to hell, they whisk them down to the church with the child in hand so that their child will be saved. The baby is free now, right? No. No, they're not free yet. That's just the beginning. Doesn't end here. The church will lay low and it waits until the child is 13. 13 is when the child's mind is still innocent and fearful and moldful, which is a new word. Fearful because all they have heard is how God loves them unconditionally with new conditions of that love coming at them every day. That is not freedom. That is mental imprisonment. I can't imagine any parent birthing a baby and then hiring a henchman, i.e. the devil, to follow this little innocent child around all of its life so the soon as they can go, aha, you've done something wrong, you are now going to hell. I can't imagine any parent listening to this right now would even consider, I mean, it would, it's just unfathomable, that word, that any parent would do that. How would you even think that God can even come close to thinking like that? So anyway, so the church weighs to the 13. And then they make them promise that they'll love God under the church's rules, this particular church, because there's another 1,699 out there that will contradict this religion. And they will mentally imprison these people, brainwash these people for the rest of their life, just so they can go to heaven and just so they can be, what's the word, that they'll be, oh, you know what the word is, I don't do it, they'll be capable of having God's love. So that's the church. Then we go to the parental rules and regulations. So now what we have is our government, and we have the religions. Here comes the parents and their rules and regulations. Most of the time, and most of their rules, are there to protect the children so the child can reach adulthood safely. That's most of the time. But also many times, parents use their authority to screw up the child's head, their brain, their thinking, by contradicting the rules and regulations, and staunch ones at that, like, God won't like you if you celebrate your birthday, which is another religious thing. And it doesn't make sense to me. Don't you honor God by celebrating your birthday? A way of saying thanks for his creation, me? You? Yeah, it's just a thought. Okay, so then we've got the government, and we've got the religions, and now we have your life partner. And this, you choose this person. I choose you to be my life partner. Your choice. It's called responsibility. Individual responsibility. But as soon as you choose this person, you guys become, we all become intimate. All of a sudden, they think that you didn't run your life very well before you chose them as a life partner, and they have come to the conclusion that they need to run your life for you. All because you chose them as a life partner. I'm scratching my head here. How did God give birth to an individual without any written instructions? God gives birth to an individual with an individual brain, individual thought processes, and adulthood. Some other person thinks it's okay to run your life. They forgot that this is your life. And the sad part is that many of us agree to allow someone else to run our life. We submit to that. That is so, so sad. When the answer could be, should be, whatever you want, no, I did not choose you as my life partner for you to run my life. I chose you so I could share my life with you. And I hope that you will share your life with me. And I promise not to run your life for you. And all I want to do is run my life for me. And hopefully we can share our lives into the waning sunlight of our life. And we'll be just fine. But usually that's not what happens. It's one person decides, well, you chose me for a life partner, then I can control you. So, where does the freedom come into play? Why is it when we say the word freedom, something deep inside of us rings. Something far, far back in our brain is screaming, "Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I heard you say the word freedom. Listen to me." And we can hear it slightly. And we can feel it slightly. And that's why we have this knee-jerk reaction when we hear the word freedom. It's just kind of like it's a warm fuzzy, isn't it? It's something that we recognize. It's something that we know. So why does that word mean so much to us on a personal level? After all these rules that are continually thrown at us, all the way up into adulthood, we still, when we hear the word freedom, something within us says yes, and we smile. What a warm fuzzy. So we know intrinsically that the word freedom really means something. We can feel that word within us. We know what it means. We know innately that we can have it. There is no question we can personally have it. We have just forgotten the path it takes to find our personal freedom. Isn't that right? We've just forgotten the path to take. So, our so-called enemy is not religion or another human being trying to control us. That's not our enemy. The enemy within us is each one of us. It is you personally. It is me personally. We are our own enemy. We are the only person, you and me, we are the only ones who stands in our way of being free. It's not the government. It's not the churches. It's not our parents. It's not our spouses. It's us. We are the only ones who stand in our way because we know that the freedom lies within us. We are arguing with ourselves, and only we individually can stop arguing with ourselves and find that path to freedom. There is nothing in our way to live our life with the freedom that you know is obtainable. The only thing that is in our way is the way that we have chosen to think, speak, and act towards the goal of freedom. That's it. That's the only thing that is in our way. To live free, to breathe deeply and not worry about what anything or anybody thinks of us. That we know we can get up in the morning and swing our legs on the other side of on the floor of the side of the bed and breathe deeply, and we are free. We are free of anybody else's opinion of us. We are free that we know that we can run our lives our way. When was the last time you woke up like that? For many people, it's been a long time. Because they think, listen, they're thinking that they have to live in a mental state of not being free. They think that way. Last week we were talking about the film running in your head that has thousands of blank frames waiting to be imprinted on using your imaging machine called your brain. We think in images. We don't think in words. Like when you say cow, when I say cow to you, you don't see the word C-O-W, you see a cow. And once you see that cow, that's your mindset. And then you stamp that picture of that cow on one of those empty frames. Your reel now has a picture of a cow on it. So once you have this mindset, you stamp the image onto a blank frame, and then that sets into motion what you are going to experience. So if you keep that cow on there, you're going to see a cow in a day or two. It is so simple. When you stamp on one of those blank frames, you're going to the dentist, that is what you are going to experience. If you stamp that you're going to go get your driver's license on those blank frames, that's your image, you will find yourself getting your driver's license at the Department of Transportation. Every time you image onto one of those blank frames, that is what you are going to experience. It's that simple. But you, we all do, we have this opportunity, we have this way of being able to change our mind. That's our God-given right, is to change our mind. So if you are in an experience that doesn't serve you and you need to get out of there, cut it out. Cut it out of your reel and then splice the two ends together. You've cut out. Okay, here goes. Image on a blank frame. I am going to the dentist next Thursday at 3 o'clock. You think this on Thursday, and you say, next Thursday I'm going to go. By Tuesday, something else comes in, and you go, God, I can't go to the dentist on Thursday. So what did you just do? You just cut out those frames that were meant to for you to see be in the dental office. You cut them out of your frames, your reel, splice the other two ends together, and you cut out going to the dentist. When you are in a relationship that does not serve you, that is demeaning of you, you need to cut it out of your reel. Because right now what's been going on, you are figuring out, how do I fix this relationship? How do I stay in this relationship? What has to happen so I be peaceful in this relationship? So far, you're thinking, because it takes two to stay into a relationship that is peaceful, and if the other person is not willing to share your life your way, and vice versa, you need to cut those frames out of your reel. Like this. Okay. George is out drinking a lot. Mary's cheating on me. We don't get along. We can't seem to come to a compromise here. So, and you're just thinking in the future, because we always think into the future, unless you learn how to think into the now, which is a different story. But we're always thinking into the future, and you're always trying to think how to save this relationship. And after a while, you come to the conclusion, listen to the word, you've come to the conclusion, you have decided that this relationship is not going to work. So you cut it out of your reel. If it's 100 frames, you cut out 100 frames into the future. I am now not experiencing this anymore. How do you not experience that? You cut the frames out of the reel. You bring the other two ends together. You've cut out that part of your life. And once you do that, you will not be experiencing that relationship anymore. Why? Because you cut it out. It's that simple. But what many people do is they cut it out and then they start adding more reels, more frames of that relationship. You cut it out, you've sliced it out, you splice the two ends together, you're going on to on with your life. It's really cool. This person is not in your life. You are deciding and you're coming to conclusions what you want to do with your life, but there's something out there that says, maybe I should try it one more time. And so what you do is you stamp, you image onto the new blank frames, well, maybe I could try this relationship again. And guess what? You're going to experience it again. Because why? You imaged it onto your frame of your experiences, just like you imaged it on your frame of going to the dentist. The difference is that you chose to cut the frame out going to the dentist's office, and you haven't re-imaged onto a new blank frame of going to the dental office. So, what about having some calls in? USA and Canada is toll-free, 888-228-4494. Worldwide is 877-489-6350. And the direct line is 530-776-5154. I welcome callers. I love having callers. Anybody like to call in? I would love to talk to you. Okay, so we're talking about cutting out frames that you've already put into motion that you will be experiencing and changing your mind and cutting those frames out of your reel, splicing the two ends together. Because any time that you image onto a blank frame, that is what you are going to experience until and if and when you change your mind. You can cut anything out of your life. Once you determine, once you have come to the conclusion that you do not wish to experience any of these frames any longer, you cut them out and you will not experience them. That's the simplisticness of this way of living and how powerful you are. I am going to go to the museum next weekend at 3:00. Wednesday morning you wake up, I've decided not to go to the museum this Friday, and you've cut out those frames. It is that simple. I do not like going to my job. It's a killer. I've chosen not to go any longer. And you will cut those frames out of your life of going to that job. Then the next one is, as you, many people go, I cannot not work here because I've got to feed my children. I've got to support. I understand that. I really do. But here's the deal. You have something so powerful within you that it will take care of you while you re-image that frame, each frame on there, while you decide what you are going to do once you quit that job that doesn't mean anything to you, that gives you a headache, that gives you ulcers. So it gives you time to reset up here. And if you trust it, if you trusted it as much as you trust yourself, as much as you trust, I don't know what words to use, if you trust it, it will perform for you without any question. If you trust it. you already trusted enough to get you to the dentist. You trusted enough to get you to the movies. You trusted enough to make sure you have a roof over your head, because every time you make a request, it's setting up for you. So you already use it all the time. You just don't know that you're using it.
We have a caller on line 3.
Sure. Hi, caller. What's on your mind?
Hey, I was just curious, you know, everything that you're saying makes a lot of sense, but it just seems like, in theory, perfect, but in reality, difficult just to simply put it out and move forward. I guess that's exactly, I just happened to be listening and realize this is exactly what I'm dealing with in my life right now, and
mm-hmm.
I'd love to cut out that reel and, you know, move forward, but I'm having a really difficult time doing that, so...
What did you just say? Just tell me the last sentence you just said.
I would like to, but I'm having a difficult time doing that.
Give me the last 10 words.
I guess it all makes sense, but I would like to do that. I'm having a difficult time.
A difficult time. So what you're setting yourself up, okay, here you go. What you think, speak, and act towards happens. You are setting yourself up for a difficult time. You've just said it 4 times.
Right.
So you've chosen not to cut that frame out, those difficult frames out of your life. May I have your first name yet? First?
Yeah,
sorry,
this is Callie.
Callie. Well, thanks for calling in. Here it is. You have to start monitoring, Callie, everything that you think and speak and act towards. Because once you get that down, you will be able to start processing this. And this is not an overnight success story, even though that is capable. But it's usually a process for most of us. Here's a sentence. I can't see me doing that. Here's another sentence. I can't see me doing that. Which one's the law?
Right.
Which one's the law?
Yeah, I guess it makes sense that, you know, I can see me doing it, but the reality of it really is that each time I see myself doing it, he comes back into my life and makes it seem as though that would be silly, that I'm just, that he just needs patience and that it's no big deal that he hasn't called me for the last 2 days and sometimes I feel like maybe I am, you know, making a bigger deal out of it than it needs to be. So I tend to continue to give him excuses. But when it comes down to it, I feel like the relationship and the situation isn't honoring me. And I feel disrespected due to the fact that he doesn't end up calling me back for, you know, yeah, it's only like a 24-hour period, whatever, but why not? Why wouldn't he just call me back, you know, especially if when we're together in the same place and when we're, you know, physically at the same place, we're so connected and things seem absolutely perfect. But when we're not together, he's really distant and holds me definitely at arm's length and continues to prove it by taking a good 24-hour period or sometimes even 2 days to call me back,
mm-hmm.
which is starting
okay.
to drive me crazy.
Right. Well, you're driving. Let's leave him out, Callie. This is your life, okay? And that's his life, and he's allowed to do anything he wants. So do you think love has any pain attached to it?
Oh, definitely.
Pain. Love does have pain attached to it?
No. Love in and of itself? Love in
right.
and of itself, I don't think should necessarily have pain attached to it.
It doesn't.
Unconditional,
we'll just get to that conclusion.
Love?
It doesn't. We'll just come to that conclusion right now. Love, the definition
right.
of love of itself has no pain, okay?
Right.
Period.
Right.
What is happening here, again, it's the control issues. Because what happens is we meet somebody and we fall in love with them right away, and we just love this person that we just met 24 hours, 48 hours ago, 7 days a week. And then all of a sudden we start changing them. And then they want to change because they love us. They love us so much that they will change because we keep on setting these conditions on them. And they will just keep on changing. And every time we say, well, you know, if you would just do this, and they change. Well, if you just do this, and they would change. And then they change into somebody they do not like because that's not who they are. But they're changing for the person that they think they love and vice versa. So now this is why the divorce rate is like 52 or 60% or whatever it is because you change the person that you fell in love with, and we both do it. In relationships, both sides do it. If you would just do this, I would love you more. If you would just do this, I would love you more. If you would just call me under 24 hours, I would love you more. Right? That's what I'm hearing. If you would just do this,
right,
it would be great. So stop. Stop the just. This is what's called unconditional love. A relationship happens naturally. It has no pain to it. It has none. And when you start sharing your lives versus controlling each other, the control issues is where the problem lies. Because I'm just second guessing here, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but you were saying to him, well, if you just would have called me within 24 hours, it would have been a big thing. You know, I would have been okay. And he's going, well, it's not a big deal. I was just being myself, having to, you know, hang with boys and stuff like that. Where's the big deal here? So you have a fight ensued over a call that isn't placed within 24 hours. The guy that you're looking for doesn't have to be asked to call you under 24 hours. He will do it. The guy that you
right,
love...
Right, he wants to.
Right. I'm telling you, the guy that you want is the guy. He will never have to be asked, why aren't you calling me? Because he'll call you, because he wants to call you. The guy that you want is the guy that will respect you wholly for who you are, that you're not going to have to go out on the limb and tell him how to treat you. You don't tell people how to treat you. You teach people how to treat you. And you teach them not through words, but through actions. And you're telling him what I'm hearing, and I think I'm right, that it's okay to treat you like this. You know why you're telling them that? Because you're still in the relationship.
Right.
Is that not right?
Yeah.
You got to raise your bar, babe.
I know.
Listen, I have a daughter probably about your age, and hope she's not listening. But she would get out of one relationship into the next. And she just got out of a relationship about a year ago, and she was devastated. Devastated. And I said, okay, here's the deal. You guys, no dating for 1 year. None. And she just couldn't handle that one. What do you mean, no dating for a year? I said, maybe it's time that you, and she's in her mid-30s, maybe it's time that you might want to get to know you for a while. Maybe it's time that you just take a break from people helping you think what you think about yourself. The year was just up recently. She would no more go into a relationship that she had to ask somebody to call them. She wouldn't do it now. She has raised her bar so high because she took a year off to determine who's that Mr. Right out there and what does he look like. But so far in this relationship, you have told this gentleman, or, you know, I'm not bashing him, because we both have our issues. We're just talking about yours right now. You have told him by your actions that it is okay not to call you because this argument's going on for a while, it sounds like, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. So when are you going to end it? You have two choices. You can end the relationship and get by yourself for a while and think things through and get a lot of help. There's a lot of books and tapes out there. Or, if you want to stay in the relationship, you may want to try loving unconditionally. That means no conditions. And you've heard that adage, if you know there's this bird in your palm, and you've got seed in your palm, and it sits there, and it's eating from your hand. And as soon as you start crimping your hand up to try to hold its feet, it's going to fly off, right? And if it doesn't, and if the bird loves you enough, it will come back. If the bird loves you enough, there will be a compromise. But what happens when we get into these relationships, both sides set up rules, but the other side just goes, you've got to be kidding me. And so the fight ensues. Instead of just allowing each other the person that you are, I get that you are a very loving person and just want to be in a very loving relationship, right? That's all you want, to share your life with somebody.
Yeah, and, you know, I wasn't even necessarily feeling like I needed to be in a relationship. It kind of took me by surprise, but I felt like I was at the point in my life where I was feeling like I was really solid and really grounded and knew what I wanted. And mm-hmm. I felt like I had, you know, spent a lot of time on my own and painted a picture in my head of who I was going to allow into my life. And he came into my life and started to prove himself to be that person. And I know that he has a lot going on, so I feel like I'm constantly making excuses for why he's not calling me back. And I know he's in a different place because he's recently out of a relationship. So I feel like I take all these things and I give him all these excuses where in the end of the day, really, I feel like sometimes it's just a huge test to myself because of the fact that up until just recently, I felt like if you would have asked me if this was going on a month ago, I would have been like, that's not me. I would never wait around for that or wait, you know, see how that would, that just wouldn't happen. I wouldn't take it. But it just seems like every time I turn around that he's got this great reason or this great excuse. And he tells me things like, oh, just be patient with me. I just have a lot going on right now. And then I'm busy, so then I'm kind of asking him for the same thing. But in the end of the day, it just ends up being a source of frustration for me because I don't want to be that needy girl and say, why haven't you called me? But the fact that he hasn't, in and of itself, it speaks volumes to me and makes me feel like I just need to walk away. And as soon as I feel like I need to walk away and I've just made that this decision in my head, he comes back at me with being loving and sweet and makes me feel like I was overreacting.
Well, his actions are speaking louder than his words, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then you just have to make a decision. It's your decision. It's your life to do what you're going to do with it. And maybe he just needs some time. You know, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but, you know, just look at the picture. Get back and look at the picture. Step back and look at the picture. You know, is this something that you want to do for the rest of your life? The answer is no. You just might want to leave, you know. Let him get his act together. But love, when you have a relationship, do you have to work out and compromise? You bet. Okay, that's what relationships do. But they're minimal at best. And,
yeah.
You know, if the same excuse is coming down the road over and over again, you know, just say, you know, when you get your, when you're unbusy and you want to take this thing to the next step, it sounds like that's what you want to do. And if he can't, he can't. There's nothing to hold against him. It's just his life, and he's busy, and he's got all this other stuff. So you have two choices, get out of the relationship or be patient with him. You know, which one is the one that you want to do? It has nothing to do with him. Do you get that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. It's your choice. And
right.
So you either cut him out. It could be a temporary. I'm not saying, you know, get rid of the bomb. I'm not saying that. But it's your choice, your life, and his life, his choices. And if you guys meet up later on down the road, wow, God bless you, you know. But don't be frustrated. Frustration is just, it is such a waste of time.
I know. That's how I've been feeling. It's been consuming way too much of my time and energy.
You like doing it.
I know.
Do you know we only like doing what we're doing? Do you know that? We love doing what we're doing because we love doing what we're doing. We love it. Because if we didn't, we would be doing something else. So you like being the victim here for a while. That's, you know, I'm not saying you are, but let's just use a word for right now. You love being frustrated. Because you're doing
it. No, I would have to disagree with that. Sure.
Well, okay, prove me wrong.
What was that?
Prove me wrong.
Right.
You're doing it. We only do what we like to do. If we didn't, we'd be doing something else. And that's the hard part. When you have to sit there and look at that, and I had to face that once in my life when somebody said that to me for the first time. I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. And they were right. We only do what we like to do, because if we didn't like doing what we're doing, we'd be doing something else. So we like being in pain. We like being in pain. We get paid off for being in pain. It's a known.
Mm-hmm.
So you had your act together. You probably have your act together. I think this is a great test of, do I really have my act together? Would I ever put up with it? Yes, because I am. Even though you told yourself you would never do it again, you are. Does that make you bad, good, or indifferent? No, it just makes you somebody that's learning a lot of wisdom. And when you get through this relationship, or wherever this relationship ends, you can look back for the last few months and go, boy, what a wisdom gainer that experience was, because everything is temporary. Everything's temporary.
Right.
You're either going to get through this with him, or you're going to get this through with this without him. And you will be able to look back and go, this is what I learned from this experience and this relationship. Won't you?
Yeah. Yep. That is for sure. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your thoughts and your wisdom. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for listening in.
Yeah.
I would like to, if you would go to wakeupitstimetoremember.com, and there's an email in there that, you can email me through the website there. I'll send you one of my books, if you would like.
Oh, that's sweet. Thank you.
Well, thanks for calling in, Kelly.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right,
thank you. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, my time is just about up here. I love talking to my listeners. Again, remember, this is your life. You get to run it your way. God give it to you as an individual with individual brains, individual taste, individual thought processes. He gave your life to you. Don't let anybody run it for you. No one. Zero. Nada. Nada. So anyway, I think I've overrun my time, so I will be talking to you next week. Thanks for listening. Until then, you just create great days for you. Good night.